Hello, this is Lafayette Faust, creator of the Nevermore Hollows podcast. Thank you for making the show a success. Please take a moment to subscribe, give 5 stars, comment, and share the show with your friends. It's the best way to help us grow and to be able to continue to provide quality horror content. Also, please support our new art director, Chris Madman Goins at Black Sheep Studios TN on Instagram. He has some amazing Nevermore Hollows art for sale, signed by the both of us, as well as many other original pieces I think you're gonna love. Now, for you horror hounds who like to have a good laugh, I invite you to check out my other podcast. It's called The Three Uncool Cats. In it, my two friends and I sit in a basement and discuss music, movies, and whatever else comes into our warped minds. I would really appreciate it if you would give it a listen. Now, with that out of the way, I invite you to sit back, turn on a light, and prepare yourself. The Grim Tale of Grace Macabre, Chapter 30. Grace spent all of Sunday relaxing at her uncle's house, trying to understand Sarah's explanation about the patch and the pin and the two trees, and especially daydreaming of Ari. That afternoon, they were notified that school was called off for the whole week to allow more time for the students to recover and to heal. For the next few days, she received no further communication from Ari or Sarah. She found it odd that Sarah should stop all communication after such an alarming revelation, and she desperately missed Ari and wrestled with the idea to text him. She decided against texting Ari because she didn't want to seem like a smitten schoolgirl, and she did not text Sarah so that she could gain some perspective. She found herself at times staring at her phone, on the verge of texting, and at other times staring at the Oikos patch and the feather. Every day she found herself more comfortable with the idea that there was a supernatural element to reality, and that somehow, for some reason, it was revealing itself to her. Many times she found herself thinking about the abductions, especially the most recent one of the Heisinger girl, and she wondered if the crawling man was human or something supernatural. She was thankful that Zach helped tear her mind away from these thoughts by insisting they binge old slasher movies. She awoke Thursday morning at 8 a.m., excited because it was the day Ari said he would return from Savannah. She decided to get up and take a shower so that she would be ready when Ari called. As she gathered her clothes, there was a knock on her door. "Yes?" Grace said as she ruffled through her closet for a shirt. Her mother came into the room and shut the door behind her. "Are you going somewhere?" "I was hoping you would let me borrow the car and I could get out for a while today," Grace said. "I don't think that's a good idea, honey."
"Why not?"
"I know you've rested a lot this week, but I think it's too soon for you to be out. The detectives still think you played a role in what Justin did. People are cruel and will talk, and I don't want you to have to deal with any of the gossip that may be whispered behind your back. And I'm afraid for you. Remember, Harmony Heisinger was abducted over the weekend, and this is the first time the crawling man has abducted a girl." Grace shook her head in frustration. This was the perfect time to start asserting herself.
That's awful about the girl, Mom, but I'm not letting any of this change my life. Not the shooting, not the detectives or the gossip, and not the abductions. I am in control of my life, and I won't let anyone else's actions or suspicions or expectations stop me from living it. Jennifer gave a thin smile. I appreciate your adult response to all this, but I can tell it has taken its toll. You still look tired. Grace didn't want to argue or fight. That would get her nowhere. She decided to be strategic. What if we compromise? She said. I'll stay at home and get more rest this morning, but this afternoon I'd like to take the car and go for a drive. Alone. It might help me clear my head. Jennifer considered this for a moment, then nodded. Okay, I'll agree to that, but I want you home before the curfew, and if you keep your phone with you always so I can get in touch with you, or so you can call for help should you need it. Grace was surprised that her mother had given in so easily. The town curfew wasn't until 8 o'clock. If she left right after lunch, she would have nearly 8 hours of free time. She planned on spending most, if not all, of that with Ari. Great, she said. I really appreciate it, Mom. I promise I'll be careful. Jennifer nervously pushed a strand of her hair behind her ear. Her look suggested she was in turmoil over her decision. I made you breakfast. Grace ate in her room. While she ate, she gave in and texted Ari to see if he were back from his trip. It took 10 long minutes for him to reply. He suggested that they meet for lunch at 3 o'clock at a place called Kali's Thai Cuisine. She had never eaten Thai food before and was eager to have this experience with Ari. She was thrilled that on her second date with him, he was still introducing her to new experiences. She took a long shower that left her refreshed. The bruises from the first nightmare were fading, but still visible. She stayed in her room until noon. Then she hugged her mother and thanked her for the use of the car. She left with no mention that she was meeting with Ari. She drove around town, wasting time until 3. With the sunroof open, the golden sun washing over her, and the thought struck her that it was getting easier to keep her meetings with Ari a secret. After some consideration, she concluded that it was because she was now exhibiting the traits of a woman who was in control of her own destiny. Besides, it simply was not her mother's business that she was having lunch with Ari. She finally arrived at the restaurant and parked next to Ari's Mustang. As she was getting out of the car, he walked up from behind her, startling her. Sorry to have scared you, he said. He displayed a playful smile. I thought you would be inside the restaurant, she replied, shrugging off her reaction with only a little embarrassment. She was beginning to feel more confident, and she really liked that. A lot. Only a few days ago, her face would have turned a dark crimson at being startled for any reason, let alone allowing the hottest guy in school to make her jump in surprise. I've got another idea, he replied. Though his smile was playful, there was a challenge in his eyes, daring her to accept whatever he had planned. We're not going to eat? Ari nodded. His dark hair glistened in the autumn sun. We will, he replied, but not here. I think it's time for you to meet the rest of my family. She suppressed a girlish giddiness and forced herself to react as if it was not a big deal. Okay, sure, sounds fun. You've already met Nephi, and now I think you need to meet the rest of them. I've told them all about you, and they're eager to get to know you." Grace willed herself to control her inward giddiness, to seem nonchalant. "So, are we going to your house to meet them?" Ari shook his head, the challenge still in his eyes. "No, they're going to meet us at the pit." Grace was surprised. The pit was a popular dance club that opened last year on the outskirts of town. "How are we going to get in?" she asked. "It's Monday afternoon. The pit is closed. And besides, don't you have to be at least 18? "Oh, I know the owner," Ari replied. "We'll have an early supper with my family there. Do you mind driving?" The pit was located 3 miles beyond the town limits. It was originally an old train depot built in the 1890s when Nevermore, Georgia was a small rest stop along the coastal railway from Savannah. On the outside, it still boasted a wraparound covered porch, arched windows, and red brick construction. It was shaded by the long, gnarled branches of giant oaks. The gravel parking lot was deserted, except for a Mercedes and two jet black Porsches. Grace was impressed when Ari explained that the cars belonged to his family. After parking, they entered the club through a side door. Someone had already turned on the lights, and there was music playing over the in-house sound system. She heard conversation and laughter from deeper within the club. "They should be in the sanctuary," Ari said. "That's what we call the main room." Grace found that terminology odd. "Why do you call it that?" "When this place is full of people, they sway on the dance floor with their hands held high, their eyes closed and gyrating to the beat," Ari explained. "It looks like they're in worship, so we just called it the sanctuary." Ari grabbed her by the hand and led her through a small vestibule toward the music and conversation. Her breath caught in her chest when his hand grabbed hers. She hoped that her hand would not become sweaty. "This place is great," he said as he pulled her along. "People around here are so uptight, but when the party starts, they let down their guard and they shed all pretenses." The pit was the only club in the county. In many ways, Nevermore had not changed from a slower, more nostalgic era. It maintained a rural feel with its Victorian and craftsman homes, all on streets lined with sidewalks shaded by ancient trees dripping with Spanish moss. Because of Nevermore's quiet pace, it had been a small scandal when the pit opened. "So you all come here when it's open?" Grace asked, wondering if he would ever invite her to come along on one of the nights that the club was full of people. She was sure her mom would say no, so she decided she would simply not tell her about it and come anyway. "We each help out here in various ways," Ari said. "It's a good way to waste some time and make some money." They stepped out of the vestibule into a cavernous room. Every wall was painted completely black, and the room was dramatically lit by a row of multicolored spotlights that hung from the ceiling. In the center of the room sat an ornate rectangular table with candelabras full of lighted candles. The antique table and chairs should have seemed so out of place, yet they only served to give the room a cool gothic vibe. The other five runaways sat in chairs around the table. They were in animated conversation. Nephi was the first to notice them. She stood, and her full pouty lips spread into a wide smile. "Grace," she said, clearly happy to see her. "You're here." The others at the table stopped talking and turned their attention to Grace. There were two other girls besides Nephi, and two guys. "Grace, "This is my family," Ari said. He pointed to the two guys. "The one there with the long hair and the beard is Andre. The beast there with the dreadlocks is Barba." Both Andre and Barba smiled and said hello. They were both handsome in their own way. Barba's skin was so dark he appeared to be made of ebony. He was broad and powerfully built. Andre's blonde hair hung to his shoulders. He looked like a less bulked-up Viking with his beard and light complexion. Next, Ari introduced the two remaining girls. He pointed to an Amazon of a girl with dark red hair. "This is Amy," he said, then turned his attention to a petite blonde with radiant blue eyes. "And this is Salome." Salome stood and walked around the table with the grace of a cat. She wrapped Grace in a quick hug and then turned to Ari. "She is very pretty, Ari. You made a good choice."
Let's take a quick break.
Out of the woods can the
Moon Carter is a family fictional podcast, and I mean for the family. Parents, do you find it really hard to make it through your children's podcasts?
Then listen to Moon Carter and join me, Splot, and the gang on our magical adventures. Click all the links below or get it from where you get your podcast from. But if you need to be told that, then I worry about you. Splat. It's like drink water from where water's from. Not, what's that about?
Not helping. Moon Carter is a podcast. You like it?
Grace could not stop herself from blushing. She had never been called pretty, especially by someone so beautiful as Salome. The girls were gorgeous and fashionably dressed while she wore jeans and a Pearl Jam t-shirt. She was embarrassed and didn't know what to say, so she said nothing. Ari glanced at Salome. Jealous? Salome's eyes narrowed and she pursed her lips into a mischievous pout. "Maybe," she said. "Maybe I don't like the competition." She turned and looked at Neffy and Amy. "Maybe there's too much competition already." "Get over yourself," Barba said, shaking his head. His accent hinted at Jamaican and was as mellow as dark rum. "Grace," Amy said, "you're going to have to forgive our resident diva. She must know deep down that she isn't as gorgeous as she thinks she is." "Deep down, she's just a hag," Andre said jokingly. Everyone laughed, and Grace saw a flash of anger pass over Salome's face. "Whatever," Salome said. She used her left hand to brush back a stray blonde hair from her forehead. "So, are you ready to join our group, Grace?" "Sure," Grace replied. She couldn't believe she was being asked to be part of the most mysterious group in school. A group that seemed aloof now proved to be inviting and kind. She was eager to be in part of this intriguing group. "So, what were you all discussing?" Salome looked at Ari, as if asking for permission to proceed. He nodded, and she said, "We were discussing whether or not we were going to like you. Everyone thinks you will be a great fit, but I think you aren't dangerous enough." "Are you dangerous enough, Grace?" Grace didn't know how to react to Salome's question. Of the group, Salome was the only one who seemed antagonistic. The others were so nice and welcoming that, by comparison, Salome seemed cold and mean. The others looked as if they weren't pleased with her approach, yet Grace felt they all wanted to hear her answer the question. "Well, no," Grace said. "I've never been accused of being dangerous. Why do you ask?" Salome raised her eyes as if she hadn't expected an honest answer. Her bright red lips curled back into that mischievous grin. "Because, Grace, if you want to be one of us, you're going to have to learn how to live life to its fullest. You're going to have to become dangerous." Chapter 31. Grace didn't know how to react to Salome's declaration that she would have to become dangerous. She was saved having to respond by Barbara, who pushed back from the table and stood. "Ignore my sister, Grace," he said, casting a chastising look at Salome. "We haven't had anyone join our group in a very long time, and she clearly doesn't know how to feel about it." "It's okay," Grace said, feeling uncomfortable. Barbara walked around the table, causing the flames atop the candles to sway and flicker. "What we want to get across to you is that we value our privacy." "Well, I'm a very private person too," Grace replied. Barba smiled. His teeth glowed against his ebony skin. "Good," he said. "A little mystery is good, don't you think?" "Yes, I do," Grace replied, thinking of how the Barbie zombies in her school posted extremely personal and sometimes intimate details of their lives on the various social media sites. It was a sick sign of these bizarre times. "I believe you," Barbara said. "My sister is just suggesting that you show us that you can keep a secret." Amy gave an exasperated sigh and shook her head. She brushed a crimson curl from her face. "Oh, Barbara, you make that sound so absolutely boring." She rolled her eyes. "Enough," Ari said, smiling and shaking his head. "I apologize, Grace. They're always picking at each other like this. Now, let's get to business, shall we?" Grace was about to be accepted into the most mysterious group in school. It was all happening so fast. Just a week ago, she was sitting in the library, fantasizing about a relationship with Ari, and now, here she was, about to become a part of their secretive group. "Don't let these fools creep you out," Neffy said. She was sitting on the edge of the table. Grace found it amazing that Neffy was able to make the mundane act of sitting seem sensuous and alluring. Their attempt to impress upon you how we protect our privacy has devolved into the melodramatic. Grace tried to act calm through her excitement. She wanted to be as composed and confident as everyone else in the room. She shrugged, trying to look casual and cool. "I can do that. No one needs to know anything about us." Neffy exchanged looks with Ari. There was deep meaning in that look. There was an exchange of information on a level that could only be achieved through deep intimacy, and a jolt of jealousy surged through Grace. She decided that she wanted to be part of this secret group, if for no other reason than to make it clear that Ari was hers and not Neffy's. "We usually have an invitation process for our new members," Neffy said. "The process of administering the initiation falls to Salome. Are you okay with that?" Grace nodded. "This is so exciting," she thought. "Yeah, I'm okay with that." Neffy slipped off the table and landed cat-like on her feet. "Great. I just know you're going to be a great addition." Neffy turned to Amy. "We might as well get this thing started." Amy nodded and turned to Salome. Her smile spread across her face. "We have the perfect way for you to prove that you're dangerous enough, don't we, Salome?" Salome gave her own impish smile. "We do. It's something so simple, yet so drastic for you that it will prove to us that you're sincere in joining us." "Okay," Grace said confidently. though a small whisper inside her begged caution. A pang of anger flared up at that thought. She had so far lived her life cautiously. Look at where that had gotten her. Only when she began taking risks did her life start to get exciting. She allowed the anger inside her to shout down the whisper. "I'm ready," she said, "no matter what it is." "Great," Salome said and nodded at Amy to continue. "All you have to do, Grace, to prove that you are dangerous enough, is to not go home tonight. Stay here with us."